We've been, over the last several weeks, we've been in our series, The Power of Giving. I want to talk to you today about the power of giving is found in doing something. Because if you're giving, then you're doing something. If you give your time to help somebody, then you're doing something. If you give your knowledge to teach someone, then you're doing something. If you give your finances towards a cause, then you're doing something. Because you can't give anything without doing something. They are intertwined. They go hand in hand. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 28. We can get the lights turned back on. That would be fabulous. Matthew 28 records what we call the Great Commission. It's our mandate. It's Jesus's broad instruction to us as the church for what we are supposed to do in the world. And we have all been given specific purposes within this mandate, within this Great Commission. We all have parts to play. We all have roles to fulfill. And God is the one that orchestrates us all together. Your role and my role, your purpose, my purpose. And he orchestrates it all together to accomplish his mandate that we find in Matthew 28. There we go. Let there be light. Matthew 28 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we speak, if you've been around us and part of our family and hanging out with us for any length of time, even just today, you'll notice that we speak of the ecclesia. When Pastor Barry came up during worship, he started talking about the ecclesia. So if you're around us at all, this is some of the terminology that we use. We speak of the ecclesia, which is the church, not a building, not a location, or an organization, but it's people. We speak of the ecclesia as the people. We talk about the church gathered together, and that's what we are right now. This is the ecclesia gathered together. And we talk about the church scattered out to the public square, to the marketplace. So whether you're here gathered or whether you go and you're scattered, you're still the church. You don't go to church on a Sunday morning. You are the church. And so wherever you are, the church is there. And we've got our terminology and our vocabulary the last couple hundred years has shifted to where the church is now a location and not the people. Because when Jesus talked about the church, I will build my church, he wasn't talking about big buildings. He was talking about big people. So in this mandate that we've been given, Jesus gave us authority. As Jesus starts, he says, all authority has been given to him. And then he says, go therefore. And so when you read therefore in the scripture, you've got to stop and you have to understand what it's there for. Right? He said, go therefore. See, he said, first he says, all authority has been given to me. Go therefore. So what he's saying is, all authority has been given to me, and I am giving you my authority, and go in that authority. So we are sent with his authority for the specific purpose of discipling nations. It doesn't say people. It says nations. So it is not possible to disciple nations without discipling people. But it is possible to disciple people without discipling nations. See, if you look across America, we have some huge churches in some of our cities. Huge churches that gather together with lots of people, tens of thousands of people coming together under one roof. But the cities aren't changed. They're not transformed. They're not discipled. Because the focus has been discipling the people and not discipling the nation. Because you can disciple people without discipling the nation. But when you disciple the nation, it's impossible to not disciple people. Does that make sense? You with me so far? Say amen if you're with me. Okay. If you're not, hang tough and you'll catch up. So when we can look at an entire nation and just get slightly overwhelmed. How on earth am I going to disciple an entire nation when I struggle discipling the person across the street from me? And so when we get overwhelmed at the task, we try to reason and we try to comprehend with human reasoning what it is that Jesus was telling us to do. And we stop looking at really what he said, discipling the nation, and we take it down to doing something that we feel that we can wrap our hands and our minds around, back to discipling people, because discipling the nation is a little overwhelming, so I'm just going to focus on discipling people. And we get lost in discipling people, and we disregard the nation, which really is where we find ourselves today. Our nation is struggling. Our nation needs help. But we focused on discipling people, and we have ignored discipling the nation. So, it would seem completely unreasonable for us to disciple nations when we look at it in the light of our own power and our own authority. But that's the thing. See, we're not sent in our power, and we're not sent in our authority. We are sent in His. He gave us His power, and He gave us His authority. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus says, "You will receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." So this is the empowerment. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "I give you my authority." And in Acts chapter 1, he says, "I give you my power." So we have his authority and his power. The authority to accomplish the mandate and the power to do the mandate. The empowerment we need to disciple nations is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is God's deposit of his power into our lives to do what we can't and only he can. So we are empowered with dunamis power. That's what that word in the Greek, that's what that is, which is where we get our word dynamite. It's explosive, miraculous power to make us witnesses. And the word witness here is not just "I saw something," but it's really a judicial term. It's the judicial term witness. So when you're called into a court of law to give witness to something, that's what Jesus is talking about. So we are given dynamic, miraculous power to give witness to the rule and reign of the King of Kings and to overturn injustices in the world around us, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. We disciple nations by no longer accepting the injustices of our broken world, but testifying to the power of God, the goodness of his kingdom, and discipling the nations in the ways of his kingdom. This is how we disciple nations. So Matthew chapter 28 announces our mandate, and Acts chapter 1 announces our power to accomplish it. Okay, now let me talk about missions. In all of this, I'd like to just say hello to John Bass. Can you stand up for a second? He is one of our, he's in our region. John is a local home missionary to the Native American people of California. I've been friends with John for a long time. He's a fellow Canadian. Don't hold that against us. He cheers for the wrong hockey team, but I forgive him every time I see him. Did you realize that California has the greatest population of Native Americans in the entire nation? I didn't realize that. I sat and I had coffee with John about a year ago, and he started filling me in on the great need. That's before. So he had no idea that I was going to talk about missions today, and he walked through the door and I was like, "Hey, John." So I thought, wow, God, you're great, just the way that you orchestrate everything together. So missions is bringing the glory of God to earth until the earth is covered. It's a revival of people, and it's a reformation of culture across the globe. That definition of missions, I heard Bill Johnson give one time, and I don't know if I've ever come across a better definition of missions. See, you and I are called to disciple nations. So at Crosspoint in our family, we have a solid focus, we have a solid foundation, we have a solid work of discipling our city and our region. I'd even go so far as to say we're known for our influence. Now they might not say, in the community, they might not say you're known for discipling us, but we'd be known for our influence in our community. So when you start to use their language and you translate it into the Bible's language, we are known for discipling our city. We are known for discipling our region. They reach out to us. Our city and our leaders reach out to us and ask us for help and assistance. They ask us to collaborate with them to advancing good, to bring, and again, they're not going to use the language, right? But to bring kingdom values into our city and into our region. See, I go so far as to say that we're known for it, but we need to add to it the call to the nations. We have done such a great job in our city, in our region, through City Hope, through our relationships that we have here. Do you realize how connected our pastor is? If you need to talk to somebody, just ask Pastor Barry if he knows them. Or just go out in the community and tell them where you go to church, and they'll be like, oh, I know Pastor Barry. Oh, I know Pastor Danny. And if there's anybody that they don't know, ask Michael. He knows everyone else. There's a theory that says that you can speak to anybody on the planet within 3 phone calls, right? I already have most of my phone calls sitting in this room, right? Just anybody that I want to talk to. I'd like to talk to Lou Engle today. Well, I'll just ask Michael for his phone number. I'd actually like to send Cindy Jacobs a text message. I'll just talk to Michael because he's got her personal cell, right? We are so connected here. But we need to add to it the call to the nations, because C.T. Studd said this, who has the best last name ever. I'm sorry. If I could change my last name, I'd change it to something like Studd or Monster. Just call me Pastor Reverend Monster. I'm sorry, I digress. C.T. Studd says, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. See, we can't over-prioritize our work locally and regionally at the expense of going or sending to the nations, because then we don't really have success in either. The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. See, it's not either or, it's both and. Because the call is to the nations. The mandate is to the nations. Disciple the nations. So we are to live positioned to impact cities and nations of the world. I talked out of Malachi chapter 3 probably 3 weeks ago or so, and it speaks of the financial open heaven that comes from the alignment, when we come into alignment with God and what he says about giving the tithe. And if you missed that, you can go to our website and catch up on that in our podcast section. The financial open heaven, though, that is promised to us when we come into alignment and we begin to tithe is not without purpose. It's not just blessing for blessing's sake. We are blessed to be a blessing. God pours out financial resources upon us so that we can funnel it to the needy places, to advance the kingdom of God, to overthrow injustice in our world, and to disciple nations. This is the reason for the financial open heaven over our lives when we come into alignment with tithing. We are to keep our hands open, allowing God to put finances in and to take finances out. And it doesn't matter how big your hands are and how much finances that God can put in them or how much God has put into them. What matters is that you never close your hand on the finances that God has put in your hand. Because as soon as you close your hand and you make a fist over what God has put in there, you prevent him from putting anything else in it. And you also prevent him from distributing what he's given you to those who need it. We're not just blessed so we can run around and tell people when they say, hey, how are you? So I'm blessed. We're blessed to be a blessing. So open your hand and allow God to funnel finances into your life and out of your life. If you live with that, like, personal policy or personal discipline of having an open hand when it comes to finances, and you steward well what God has given you, you will not be left in need. You will not. David said he had in Psalms, he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. You leave your hand open and you allow God to put finances in it, and you allow him to take the finances out of it and to distribute it where he wants it to go, then you're never going to see lack in your life. But you begin to close your hand over that, and you really stop God from working in your life. So we are instructed to be his witnesses and to accomplish his mandate for us. In Acts 1, it says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, for a long time, I thought of this in concentric circles. We had, you know, Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it didn't dawn on me until I was studying for this message a couple weeks ago, and I started looking at a map, and I realized that it's not concentric circles, right? I believe, and I'd like to suggest to you that Jesus had, what he was saying was, there's a better interpretation of what Jesus was saying to us here. Jerusalem is the local regional area around you. This is where you live. The disciples were in Jerusalem when Jesus was speaking to them and telling them that they were to be his witnesses. That's where they were. So we start fulfilling the mandate of discipling nations right here in our own city, right here in our own region, in our own backyard, because this is our place of influence. I live here. I work here. I play here. I've got friends here. Some of us have family here. This is your area of influence. And he says, you start discipling nations in your own backyard, in your Jerusalem. This is our place of planting. And we are to disciple our city and our region by bringing the principles of the kingdom of heaven here where we live. Judea. Judea was the region that Jerusalem is located in. And I like to suggest to you that Jesus was saying that we need to be his witnesses to people that are just like us. Okay, stay with me. Judea was filled with Jewish people. And Jesus wanted his disciples to be witnesses to the Jewish people because they were Jewish men. Be witnesses, disciple nations to those people that are just like you. See, because you have a voice into people's lives that see the world the way that you do. You can speak into that. It doesn't mean that you stay in that flow as the rest of them, but you can identify with them because you are like them. And so you are to be his witnesses to people who are like you, who think like you, and who act like you. And you are to disciple them as you disciple the nation. Samaria. Now, Samaria on a map is located just to the north of Jerusalem and Judea. And remember the story of the woman at the well? Jesus was in Samaria. Remember the story of the good Samaritan? See, these people, the Samaritans, were not like the Jewish people. The Jewish people would look down on them. They thought of the Samaritans as less than. They wanted nothing to do with them. I go so far as to say as they were despised by the Jewish people. And Jesus is saying, I need you. I want you to be my witness to people that are not like you, to people that make you feel uncomfortable, to people that you don't want to be around. I want you to be my witness to people that don't think like you, act like you, talk like you. They are different than you. In fact, they make you extremely uncomfortable. I'm sending you to them. So it's not just to people who are like you, and it's not just to people who are in your own backyard, but it's to people who look nothing like you, talk nothing like you, think nothing like you. And in fact, when they speak of their worldview, it goes completely contrary to the kingdom, completely contrary to your world point of view. He says, go to them, love them. As you disciple nations, go to the people that are nothing like you. The ends of the earth. Well, that just represents the ends of the earth. Sometimes when you read things in scripture, it really just is what it is, right? We're not just sent to our local area. We are sent to the nations. Go therefore and disciple nations. The call, the mandate, is to have a global focus, not just a local focus. We're not just to disciple our nation, but we are to disciple the nations of the world. So how do we do this? I'd suggest that we look for injustice and that we gather the ecclesia together. And we begin to shift the atmosphere and we begin to make declaration and we begin to make spiritual warfare against the injustice. And then we go and do something about it. See, we're not just called to do spiritual warfare, but we are called to actually do something. Right? The girl at the beginning of the video that we saw at the beginning, she saw a need and she did something. She thought, I can do something. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to do it. I really don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing something. So you look for the injustices around you and you begin to war against them. You begin to fight against those things. The injustice of poverty, the injustice of sickness, the injustice of mental health issues, the injustice of racism. You look, and so you're like, how do I know what's injustice? Some of the things are as obvious as the nose on your face. The other things, you look at the kingdom of God and you see what is in the kingdom. And when you see things on earth that are not in the kingdom, that's injustice. Because the kingdom of God is justice. And so when you see things on earth that are not in heaven, that's like the flashing light where Holy Spirit is saying, that right there, that's injustice. We don't flow along with culture of the nation or the area that we find ourselves in. We tap into the culture of the kingdom of heaven and we realize that injustice is all around us. And then we go after that. Because we have authority as the church gathered, as his ecclesia, to be his judicial witnesses, to his goodness, to his power on the earth, and to bring the kingdom here. See, where two or three are gathered, what did Jesus say? There I am. So we don't need everybody to get together. You just need a couple people. You just need you and your spouse or you and a friend at work to get together and be like, man, there is gender discrimination in my office and we are no longer going to stand for it. We are declaring we are all equal, that not one is greater than the other, but we are all children of God. We are made in his image. And you begin to make declarations against that. And then the two of you as the ecclesia, you begin to do something to change the culture, to eradicate the injustice around you and to bring the justice and the principles of heaven here on earth. I think sometimes we overcomplicate it because it seems like such a big job. What am I supposed to do? And we begin to eradicate injustices around us. We are beginning to disciple our city, our region, and our nation. But when we accept those things as normal, those things that we have inherited as culture. Culture is something that you just begin to flow in it. You don't even realize it. That's culture. So when you say things that come out of your mouth and you're just kind of going with it, that's the culture that you were raised in. We don't have to flow just in the culture that you were raised in. We've got to pay attention to the culture of heaven and tap into that. Begin to speak those things. Begin to flow with the culture of heaven. If we just flow with the things, with culture the way that it is, then racism is never going to stop. Because culturally in America, it's pretty commonplace. And it needs not to be. It's wrong. It is wrong. And it is our mandate to end the injustice. It's not up to somebody else. It's up to me, and it's up to you. Now, we might not all be called to war against the same injustice, but God will highlight something in your heart, and you will feel moved towards something, and then you begin to flow towards that. You begin to tackle that injustice. See, when we focus on bringing justice to injustices, we are now loving the outcast, the outsider, and the misfit because they go hand in hand. Don't ever reduce the Great Commission to something that we can comprehend because you cannot comprehend the discipling of nations. It's not for us to comprehend, it's for us to do. to do something. Bob Goff says, there's no justice without love, and there's no love without justice. So when you are fighting injustices, you are becoming love, the love of God to those people who are suffering under injustice. And there's no discipling nations without justice, and there's no justice without discipling nations. See, they go hand in hand. This is our mandate, discipling the nations of the world in the ways of the kingdom. It's showing them what love looks like, what love does, and who love loves. Justice is the kingdom. So when the kingdom comes, we have justice, which is a manifestation of love. So we'll continue to talk about the ecclesia. It's going to happen over and over and in different ways and, you know, in different formats and in different scenarios and in different gatherings. Like I said to Renee as, you know, I was preparing and studying, going over my message, I'm thinking, man, this is so different. If this is your first Sunday with us, you probably wouldn't realize we're talking on finances, right? But this is the way that I felt Holy Spirit lead me to talk about it. And we'll get to the financial end in a minute. Zig Ziglar says, repetition is the mother of learning, the father of action, which makes it the architect of accomplishment. So we want you to learn who you are as the ecclesia, to act on that understanding and that knowledge of who you are, and we want you to accomplish the mandate of discipling nations. See, we can't just agree with Jesus. Go therefore and disciple nations. Yes, Jesus, I agree with you. That's a good thing. We're not called to agree. We're called to obey. And they're not the same thing. I can agree with you all day long, but I might not obey you, right? My kids might say, well, I agree that I should have a clean room, but it doesn't mean that the room's going to be clean. Not saying that the rooms are dirty. They are clean. Agreeing is not obeying, and we are not called to agree with Jesus. We are called to obey Jesus. So your mandate is to disciple nations. It means we have to do something. So the power of giving is found in doing something. And I've got three areas to present to you this morning where we can do something. And this is where we begin to talk about our finances. So the first thing, and we'll do this now. So if our ushers could get ready, we're gonna receive the One Day to Feed the World offering. So you'll notice on every seat in here, there's an envelope. And so if you want to take your envelope, here we go. And they're not all the same. We changed them up so it didn't look boring. And you can slide your One Day to Feed the World offering in here. And if you're a guest or you're visiting with us, you are more than welcome to participate. But we've been challenging our family over the past, I believe it's been about 5 weeks, to sacrifice one day's wage and to give it in a single offering so that we might be able to feed the children of the world through Convoy of Hope. So what we're doing in this offering is we are empowering Convoy of Hope to feed children across the world who are suffering under systemic poverty. It's not just, it's wrong that there are children dying of malnutrition and starvation across the world. And so what we're doing is we are fulfilling the mandate of Jesus to disciple nations by receiving an offering to feed children. We might not be physically feeding children, but it doesn't happen without us. Without this offering, without this gift that we are offering up to the Lord, the feeding of these children doesn't happen. So you've got your envelopes, and then if you have your mobile device, then you can give through PushPay. And so I'm gonna have the ushers, you guys can come forward as everyone else is finishing writing your envelope or pulling up PushPay. And even though I'm speaking, I'm gonna give at the same time in our offering right here. So Father, I thank you for all the sacrifice that's taken place to prepare for this offering. For those that have given up good things in their lives so that they could save along the way and they might be able to give an entire day's wage in this offering. I pray that you'd take what we give and that you would multiply it. May this offering be like the little boy's lunch, and that you would multiply it and it would go further and farther than we could ever even possibly understand that it could go. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're giving with PushPay, you want to highlight, you can go ahead and receive the offering. Thank you. If you're giving with PushPay, you want to make sure you give to Convoy of Hope. Okay? All right. There. Worked. It's done. I gave. We all gave together. Can I just say, as they're receiving the offering, thank you for allowing us to push on you and to challenge you to sacrifice. We know that this is not easy to do. This is difficult. And I want you to know and to understand that we just did that together. Right? As I was standing here and the ushers started passing the bag, I gave my one day offering. Just like you did. We did this together. This is a sacrifice of family. Because doing something requires a level of sacrifice. It requires us to give up something good so that we can in turn do something great. We don't want to get to the end of our life and to hear Jesus say, good job, right? We want to do great things. And in order to do great things, we're going to have to give up on some of the good things. We're going to have to sacrifice a little here and there so we can do something great. The other area that I want to present to you, an area that you can do something, is our monthly missions giving. As a church family, we've committed $2,375 every single month to missions. We empower various people and organizations, both locally, in our region, and some of them you know like Sean Smith, and you know Brian Orm. You know, these are local, regional people, and we support missionaries that are sent to our state and to our nation and around the world. And we empower them to disciple nations. So we might not be able to go to every nation, but we can empower, we can financially send to every nation and empower those that feel that call on their heart to those nations. And so every month we give $2,375 to empower these people to disciple nations. Now, right now as a church family, we're not meeting our financial commitments every month. We have one person who's generously helping us make all of these our financial commitments, which is good. They are doing something. We are forever grateful for their help and their assistance so we can continue to have missionaries on the field to where they've been called to. They are doing something. In the area of monthly missions giving, as a family, we are not. And I know that that's hard to hear, but sometimes the truth is, if we always just candy coat everything, then everything is all lollipops and unicorns. And that's just not reality. And so the truth is, as a family, collectively as a whole, we're not making it. And so we're going to hear more about this in the coming months, but this is kind of this seed. I wanted to throw it out there to put that on your mind. The challenge is going to come, and it's always going to come framed in this framework. Give up something good so that you can do something great. So in the new year, we'll come back and we'll talk about monthly missions giving. And I'm going to challenge us to give up something good so we can do something great. So that we can meet our financial commitments to our missionaries, but not just meet them, but go above and beyond so that we can do even greater things and we can impact even more people and we can continue to disciple even more nations. We just gave significantly to Convoy of Hope. And we do this on a yearly basis. This is a yearly commitment that we've made. Every November, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, you can put it on your calendar for next year. We're going to do this again. We're going to take up the one day to feed the world offering. But we want to expand. We don't want to just continue to do the things that we've always done. Last week, Pastor talked about giving the offering. And he talked about how giving offerings, the over and above our tithe, is just as much a matter of following Jesus as the tithe is. We're not called to just simply tithe, but the tithe is the launching pad for our generosity. We are called to give offerings. And he challenged us to grow in our capacity for generosity, to grow in our capacity to give. And so the challenge is going to continue to come out. We're going to continue to challenge us all to grow in the grace of giving. We don't want to just grow. I mean, we want to grow in peace as we talk to. We want to grow in our prayer life. We want to grow in hearing the voice of Jesus and in signs and wonders and miracles and the prophetic. We want to grow in all of those things. But we also need to be growing in the grace of giving. And the third area that I want to present to you this morning is I want to present to you what I've called a love and learning ministry trip. So last summer, we facilitated a trip to Mexico to build a house for a family, and we played a role in ending systemic poverty for that family and for that region as we partnered with Student Reach. This summer coming, from June 17th to the 25th, we're going to take a trip to the Czech Republic and go to Eastern Europe. And we are going to partner with a local church planter that I've known for many years. And we are going to come alongside and we are going to love on him. We're going to love on his church. And we're going to love on their city. And we are going to learn what it's like to be uncomfortable in a culture that we are not familiar with. And we're going to learn what it's like to love people that want nothing to do with your Jesus. Because Eastern Europe they're very hard. They don't want to hear anything about God. They don't want to hear anything about the church. The Czech Republic is officially an atheist nation. And so we're going to put ourselves in a culture that's not like ours and surround ourselves by people that don't want to hear what we have to talk about, and we're going to learn to love them. And we're going to do ministry. And we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. Because every time that I've gone, there has been significant ministry take place. They need to see a demonstration of the kingdom of God. And so we're going to go on what we're calling a love and learning ministry trip. And so if you're interested, I was supposed to make a sign up sheet. So don't sign up because there's no place to sign up. You can email me and my email address is pastorcraig@crosspointlife.org, or you can find it on the website, or next week you can find a sign-up sheet at Crosspoint Central. But just come and talk to us if you are interested in going, and then we'll get you the information on that. So everyone's probably wondering, well, what's something like that cost? Well, it's going to be between $1,800 and $2,400, depending on airfare, because that's kind of the wild card at the moment. You might say, well, Pastor Craig, that's a lot of money. Yes, it is. But you're going to have to give up something good to do something great, because you're called to the nations. And so as you go, and you think about and you pray into this opportunity for this specific nation, if Holy Spirit begins to tug on your heart and you're like, but Holy Spirit, I don't have the money, then you just leave it in God's hands and you begin to be obedient. You begin to partner with him. The power of giving is found in doing something. The one-day offering, regular monthly missions giving, and this missions trip to the Czech Republic. Each one of these opportunities requires you to engage your finances. Each opportunity requires a measure of sacrifice, giving up something. And you might look at all of these opportunities and you might think that you can't, listen, I can't afford to give an entire day's wage, or I can't give anything substantial to monthly missions, or I'm afraid to travel overseas, I'm afraid to fly, or how will I be able to come up with the money? We can become so paralyzed with the enormity of a need or an opportunity. But listen to me. Don't let what you can't do stop you from doing what you can. If you continually look at what you can't do, you'll be stuck in that place and you won't do what you actually can do. Everyone can do something. You might not be able to give an entire day's wage. But Jesus, when he was sitting and he was watching people put their money into the temple treasury, who did he highlight? He didn't highlight the people who put in buckets of gold. He highlighted the poor little widowed woman who put in 2 copper coins. She gave all that she had, and he stopped all of his friends, all of his disciples, and he said, she just put in more than everyone combined because she gave out of her lack, not out of her abundance. Really, we're not called to give equal amounts of finances. We are called to equal sacrifice. And because we live in America, our sacrifice might look a little bigger than it does in other places. But we are called to equal sacrifice, not equal offerings. The size of your offering doesn't matter so much as your obedience. It's all about obedience. The power of giving is found in doing something. What will you give and what will you do? Let me pray for you guys. Father, you are so good to us. You are just ridiculously good. We really can't even put into words how awesome you are. I thank you for my family. I bless them in your name, Jesus. And I pray that you would help us all grow in the grace of giving. Wherever we are, that we would recognize this is my place and my finances. And then we would begin to make purposeful, determined steps to grow in our grace of giving. That you would help us to be good stewards of what you put into our lives, that we would not be wasteful, but we would be wise, we would be shrewd. And even that you would put your finger on things in our life that are good things, and they're not hurting us, there's nothing wrong with them, but maybe it's something that we could give up, and that you put your finger on something. Holy Spirit, I pray that you even now begin to put your finger on things in our lives and say, hey, son, daughter, you could give that up. And you could redirect those finances. You could do something great with that. And so we acknowledge that we have not arrived and that we are growing. And we just look for your help as you grow us, as you mature us. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to step into being the ecclesia as you have called us to, and we would not revert back to being spectators and just simply gathering together in a building, but we would scatter, and each one of us would do something to fulfill the mandate of discipling nations. In Jesus' name, amen.